We will be looking at the story of Ruth this morning. And I think from little up, we all heard the story of Ruth. And so this is a familiar story, but hopefully as we look at the story and as Randy preaches this morning, we will learn some new things. I think Randy's planning to do a series of sermons here on the story of Ruth. It's from Ruth 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. This would be the land of Israel. And a certain man of Bethlehem and Judah went to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. The two sons took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her sons and without her husband. Then she started to return with her daughter-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you might find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Do I have sons in my womb that they might become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Don't press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do this, and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing the scripture to us this morning. As Chris shared, we're going to be dwelling in the book of Ruth for the next 4 weeks. It's haven't done many sermon series dwelling in the same book since I've been pastor here very often. And I think it's a great thing to do, though, to spend some time in the same book, to allow ourselves to really dig in a little bit more and to maybe pay attention to some things that come out that we didn't realize before in this really amazing book in the Bible. I have entitled the sermon series for the next 4 weeks, Gleanings from Ruth. And each week there would be a subtitle to it. This week it is Choosing Friendship, Choosing God. But even in this sermon series title, you will hear the agricultural theme. As we have heard in this story already, there is this leading into the barley harvest. And we're going to hear more of that in the next few weeks. But this agricultural theme is very appropriate. First of all, our church is connected to agriculture in some significant ways. A number of people have either been farmers in the past or they are in the agricultural field in some way. And this theme of growing, the barley is growing and being harvested, and this theme of God is growing something in this book of Ruth. God is revealing himself in an unexpected way that this story will show us. That even in the midst of despair and hopelessness and pain, God is still at work, growing something new, full of hope and love. This is not a story where everything is peachy good all the time. Not the case at all. And yet through the next four chapters, we see God of Israel, Yahweh, at work in the lives of Naomi and Ruth and other characters. And so I encourage you the next 4 weeks to read the book of Ruth at home. You could read a chapter a day, or a chapter a week, and then just keep dwelling in it each day through the next 4 weeks. And as we go along, I will also be looking at places in the story that connect with the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. Because even though this is an Old Testament story, I think it's always great to be asking, where do we see Jesus in the story as well? How is it pointing to the life of Jesus for us today? So just a bit of context here in the book of Ruth. Ruth is found right after the book of Judges and right before the book of 1 Samuel. And the story of Naomi and Ruth is set, we are told, during the period before the kings ruled in Israel. It opens with the verse, in the days when the judges ruled. And we know that in the days that the judges were ruling, there was people were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. And Judges 21 tells us, because there was no king in Israel. Now, we know that even when they got a king, it's not as if they started doing everything right in God's eyes. But this was a period that was a lot of unfaithfulness in Israel. And I've been drawn to some themes here that I want to pull out for us. And I would encourage all of you in the next 4 weeks to pay attention to themes that are being drawn out for you. I thought about we could have a Whitmer Heights Twitter feed in the next 4 weeks, and you could do hashtag whatever is coming out to you. So if anybody here on social media and Twitter wants to take that on, talk to me. I think it could actually be kind of cool. And our young folks might be a little bit more engaged as well. For example, hashtag Old Testament is beautiful. Hashtag Old Testament makes me really uncomfortable. Hashtag, wow, Ruth is an awesome character. Hashtag, we need more women stories in the Bible. Those are some of my hashtags already. So, first, in verses 1 to 5, this theme of loss, death, famine, it's just hard to start Ruth. A famine has forced Elimelech, his wife Naomi, their sons Mahlon and Chilion to leave Bethlehem and Judah for Moab. The text says they remained in Moab, verse 2, implying that they had settled in for the duration. And the next verse reports that Elimelech has died, leaving Naomi widowed with her two sons. The story tells us that Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi's sons, wed Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth, although we are not told which son is married to which woman. After they dwell in Moab 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion die childless. So now Naomi, who had migrated to Moab with her husband and sons from a land that was lacking, is once again left empty, grieving with the loss of her husband and sons. Not only is there unimaginable loss and grief in this story, but there is also this unbelievable honesty from Naomi in her conversations with God. This feeling that God has completely left her in verses 20 and 21. Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Right away, we have a Bible story here that gives us a space for us to acknowledge the hardship and pain in both our world and in our personal lives. If you want a Bible story that makes you feel good all the time, this isn't the one to start with. But I think that's a good thing, because that's not the reality of our own stories. Our own stories are filled with death and loss, famine, greed, and fears, if we're honest. I'm reminded of the scripture, the earth is groaning for the redemption of the world. And here, in the beginning of Ruth, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah are groaning in their grief. And they're being honest with God about it. And so I hope this morning you can feel heard in your own challenges or pain in this story. And the second theme that sticks out to me is this insistence from Naomi to ask her daughter-in-laws to turn back. Go home. We're told that Naomi arose and set out with her daughters-in-laws to return to Bethlehem and Judah from Moab. And as they are turning back, the question for the reader is, what will happen to these women? In ancient Israel, women without the supervision or the security of marriage and was extremely vulnerable. Without the protection of a male to care for, and the more than anything, though, the social status that was so strong in the ancient Near East context. These were very, very vulnerable women. Vulnerable to poverty and exploitation. And so in the midst of this vulnerability of Naomi, she still insists that her daughter-in-laws turn back. Verse 9. Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Verse 12. Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And we know then that Orpah does turn back, but Naomi insists that Ruth should do the same. Verse 15. See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. It's significant here that it's repeated three times in different kinds of ways. Naomi's insistence, please turn back. Don't worry about me. Take care of yourself and your future. Why do I think this is significant? Because this opens a space in our own stories to acknowledge sometimes that we are also like Naomi. Turn back. Don't worry about me. Take care of yourself. When I read Naomi's words here, I hear the words that sometimes it's really hard to ask for help. It's really hard sometimes to say, stay with me. I need you right now. Where does this come from in our world, in our culture? Maybe it's part of the shame, deep within, really deep within, that says, I am not worth your time or your friendship or your care, which comes from a very low self-esteem or self-worth. But it's that lie deep within us that says, I'm not going to ask for help because I'm not worth it. Now, I don't know if that is exactly what Naomi was feeling here. But we know that three different times she begged her daughter-in-laws to turn back. And so it gives us a space in our own stories to be aware of those times when it's really hard to ask for help. To say, I need you right now and I need your help. It's a vulnerable thing to do because it says, I am lacking in something and I need you right now. Naomi gives us a space in our stories to acknowledge that. And yet this third theme emerges out of that great vulnerability of Naomi. A theme of great hope and encouragement and marvel at God's story. That in the face of loss and fear and even feeling like God has completely left her, in the face of saying, don't stay with me, go, leave, have your own life, this amazing response from her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And what is that response? In short, it says, I'm not going anywhere. Even in the unknown of the future and the vulnerable status of not having marriage, I'm not going anywhere. Do not press me to leave you, verse 16, or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. At this point, after trying three different times to tell Ruth to go back, what else can Naomi do at this point but to accept the invitation, even if a bit begrudgingly, because it says she said no more to her when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her. So we can ask this question, why does Ruth choose to stay with Naomi? If it was strictly on the terms of what made the most sense for Ruth's security, then this doesn't make any sense at all. This was not the right move for Ruth if it was just about her opportunity for survival. As far as we know in ancient Near East context, a life of widowhood and childlessness, as I shared, made both of these women very vulnerable. If she stays in her homeland, she has more opportunity for marriage with her own people. By going with Naomi, it's very unknown what the future might mean. An unknown land with a new people, new customs, new language. Why would Ruth choose to do this? And even more reason to turn back. Naomi has just said in verse 13 that the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. It's not as if Naomi is giving a very positive view of God right now for Ruth to follow with. But in spite of this, Ruth forsakes all of that and makes the God of Israel her God. Melissa Flora Bixler, who is author of Fire by Night, she's also pastor of Raleigh Mennonite Church. She's been writing in the Mennonite World Review, if you follow that, on Ruth. She points out the significance here of the pronoun you in this study of Ruth. The pronouns in Ruth's of the word you pledge emphasis that the young Moabite woman chooses her friend rather than following the duty of her husband's family. You, the verses repeat over and over. Do not ask me to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. You. I am choosing you. This is so significant here, and Melissa Flora Bixler just nails it, I think, in that by Ruth choosing God, she first is choosing God through the friendship, the you, sticking with you of Naomi. Flora Bixler points out that recently there has been a movement of people towards the church, specifically the Mennonite church, in the past few years. People who are coming with no previous upbringing in church, who've left the church years ago, and when someone asks them, what drew you back to the church? This is what they're saying. The people. They found God present in the community through the belonging with the people. They found God by finding belonging and friendship with the church. That's the story of Ruth for us this morning. Melissa Flora Bixler says, these beloved church people are not always able to articulate doctrine or provide a rational explanation for belief, but they say God is at work among us. They have met Jesus in friendships and belonging and in the common work of liberation. If we were to explain the kind of believers they are, we would call them Ruths. Those who find Jesus welling up in the spaces between community and shared lives. By choosing the friendship and desire to stay with Naomi, she is also choosing the God of Naomi, Jehovah Yahweh. This theme of friendship is so significant in the book of Ruth, that through friendship, she also finds God. And here is where I'm seeing the connection with Jesus in a significant way. Jesus also calls us friends. Did you know that? I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Those are Jesus' very words to each of us this morning, that Jesus calls us friends. Just as Ruth chose friendship with Naomi, God also chooses friendship with us. As friends, we are invited to walk with Jesus. As friends, we invite God into all parts of our life. And just as the words of Ruth that are so beautiful, where you go, I will go, your God will be my God, we can say the same thing here in the context of Jesus as friend. Where Jesus goes, we will follow. God's people will be our people. God's neighbors will be our neighbors. We are invited to first and foremost see Jesus as friend. Both God has chosen us as friend, and we are invited to choose God and Jesus as friend. Let us be Ruths and Naomis, Whitmer Heights. Friends of Jesus, friends of one another, inviting friends in, following God, worshiping God. What might it mean to be a friend of God right now with everything going on? And Chris, I appreciate your opening, acknowledging everything in the past week. I was reading a quote from Diana Butler Bass. And she is a writer, speaker, and she said, which I found very profound, Any pastor that fails to acknowledge the pain of the past week with the gun violence, people will leave if they're not hearing it from the pulpit. Just a space to acknowledge from up here that there is pain and violence right now in our world, and we need God. We need God's friendship in a desperate way right now. I was so encouraged that our bishops, Joe and Rodney, sent a response for all of us in the Mellinger, Lititz, and Lancaster districts for what it means to be friends of Jesus right now in the midst of pain. How do we pray right now when there is violence happening, when young men are taking the lives of so many, when there is lots of implications of how race is involved and the need for God's healing and hope in the midst of all of that? And I appreciate the prayer that they gave to us because it acknowledges both how there is significant pain and that there is injustice, and that we are praying for our government leaders, both for the people committing this violence, for myself as a white male and the awareness of power that I have to be aware of and give up, for the prayer for Christian peacemakers in this time, and especially as Anabaptist followers of Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian peacemaker in the midst of violence? This is what it means to be friends of Jesus. That we look at these events within the lens of being friends of Jesus. That we walk with Jesus. We learn Jesus' teachings. We're formed by that friendship. And we, out of that friendship, give that love and friendship to others. Ruth's story encourages me because she finds God through the friendship of her mother-in-law. And I pray through the next month as we stay in this story that God will continue to speak to us and grow us. And let the Spirit be a part of this. Join me in prayer. God, I'm grateful this morning for Naomi and Ruth, Orpah. What an incredible story of three women in the face of incredible loss. And yet this beautiful story of friendship and choosing God through the community. God, I pray this morning as their stories touch our own stories, that you would be doing something within each of us. I thank you that you are a friend to us too, Jesus. We invite your friendship. We invite you to walk with us this week. Grow us and teach us more into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus, our friend. Amen.